Hey, Barb, why did the blonde get fired from the M&M factory? She kept throwing away all the W's. Let's close in prayer. Cheryl's not here. I could say that one. I could also call where he's from, the bowels of Munhall, because Cheryl's not here, because that's where her family came from, for me. Yes, I will, brother. That'll thrill her. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this time and this opportunity, and we just lift this message up to you. We put into your hands. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts, and whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we continue where we left off last week in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. As we noted last week, love is eternal. What it does, it will always do. Patience and kindness, the things that love is, are eternal. They will never cease to influence our souls, and His grace to us will never cease to prove that God is love. Nothing that God's love has motivated Him to do has ever failed to accomplish its purpose. And brothers and sisters, God has a purpose, an overall result that all of His actions aim to fulfill. There is a base reason for all that He does concerning us, a divine resolve that motivates His actions, from the calling of this world into existence to the ordering of your events, of your life, right here, right now. Everything exists because God loves. Everything occurs for the good of those who love God. Love is what makes us and makes us matter. Romans 8, 28 through 30 and verse 32. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those who He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these who He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for all of us, how will He not also, with Him, with Jesus Christ, freely give us all things? Before God and Christ created this world, we were predestined by the purpose of God to become the sons of God, to be conformed to the image of our eldest brother, Jesus Christ, so that He would no longer be the only Son of God. He came as the only Son, and He returned with many brethren. He desired to have you as a brother. God is love, and love demands to be manifested, to be shared, to be fulfilled. We are the result of the desire of God to express His love. You were created by God to be loved by Him as a son, to be the heirs of His love, for God to be our Father, and for us to be His much-loved children. All things work in harmony to fulfill God's purpose for us. Everything leads to the fulfillment of God's purpose of love for those who choose to return His love to Him. Events occur for our good, and glory is the culmination of His purpose for us. His purpose has an unalterable and unfailing plan, a plan which was not hidden, a plan destined to fulfill His purpose. A plan whose brilliance cannot be seen unless you know its purpose, its intended outcome. Called, justified, and then glorified, Scripture tells us. Everything that each of these terms means applies to you. This plan was predestined for you long before there was a you. In the end, His purpose is to give us all things. You are the son that God planned for. You're not a mistake or a happy accident. You were predestined to be glorified with Christ. His purpose is why you exist. His purpose is why all of us exist. His plan is why you exist, right here, right now. Brothers and sisters, here and now are simply a means to a sure end, an end which will be fulfilled there and then, joint heirs of Christ, heirs to all things, heirs to the love of God. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Saved and called us according to his purpose. He saved and called us to give us all things through all things working together. Isaiah 14:24 says, the host of the Lord has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it will happen. And just as I have planned, so it will stand. We were talking about this in Sunday school. What's predestined? Anything God said will happen. That's what's predestined. What God wants to occur will occur. His intention is always manifested. His purpose is always manifested. Our road to heaven is paved by our Father's good intentions. Psalms 138:8. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Your loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of your hand. The Lord himself will accomplish his plans for me, for you, individually, because of his eternal loving kindness, a love that will not forsake what he has created or why he has created it. Because, brothers and sisters, we are all linked by a common thread, by a question. Why am I here? What is my purpose? We spend years working our way through the world's offerings and suggestions, trying one thing and then another, only to find each of them lacking. We may even give up and embrace the shallow words of Solomon, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I may die. We find that death and loss seem to ruin just about any worldly purpose we hitch our wagon to. The wheels begin to come off as soon as we hit the first bump of our mortality, as soon as we start to see the reality of how this all ends. We only want God to help us obtain our goals, our purpose for our lives, as if he and his power existed to serve our wants and needs. His purpose is to fulfill our purpose, is what we believe. He exists to make our plan unfold smoothly, to give us what I want, not what I need. We do not know what God has proposed for us. We don't understand his purpose for us, nor do we generally care until ours falls apart. Micah 4:11, but they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, and they do not understand his purpose, for he has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Luke 7:29 through 30 says, when all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves. It was a choice. Viewing faith as the hand that rubs the lamp that produces the genie within. All of this foolishness collapses under the full weight of time and experience. Nothing taints our desires more quickly than obtaining them. God not only has a plan for mankind, for all of creation, God has a plan for you. The plan for mankind was not reactionary, it was anticipatory and in conformity with his purpose for creating you. And there is a plan for all mankind, a specific plan that enacts the universal plan in each of us. There is a plan for man, and there is a plan for you that fits into the plan for man. God doesn't bring glory to us. God brings us to glory, one person at a time, one day at a time. It is our journey to Oz that changes us. The yellow brick road is where the value lies. It prepares us to stand in front of the great and powerful Almighty God. It is not the ease of the road that determines the journey's value. The value is in what the road teaches you. The more challenging the path, the greater the reward. God knows your journey is hard. He's the one who set you upon it. And he set you upon it because he loves you. Because he knows what you need, where you need to go, and when you need to be there. Our journey and his plan are one and the same. It takes a lifetime to complete, however long that may be. Jeremiah 29:10-13. Thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, 70 years is a lifetime in Scripture, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. What makes them search for all their heart? The journey to Babylon. A lifetime of captivity is not the calamity. The lifetime of captivity is to prevent the calamity. Without the plan God has for us, we will not have a future. And without a future, there is no hope. You realize that when he says you will return to this place, everybody he said it to will be dead. God tells us plainly that the journey will humble us, not by chance, but by design. Life humbles you. You will speak, and I will hear, because you will seek me with all your heart. The journey to captivity will produce the desire to know me. I will be found by you. The journey I have planned for you will bring you right to me. 2 Chronicles 36:20 through 21, about those 70 years, just so you know. Those who escaped the sword, the terrible slaughter that occurred before they were carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, what we just read in 29, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbath. The land, not the people. The land needed a break from the evil. Creation needed to be cleared of evil. All the days of its desolation, it kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete. Now, what do you do while you're in Babylon? What do you do while you're in Egypt? What do you do while you're here? Jeremiah 29:4-8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. I sent them. Remember, for their good. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters. And multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream, the ones that tell you you don't belong there. Accept what I'm doing in your life, God says. Do not battle the plan for my purpose. Make yourself at home in a place that is not your home. Be at as much peace as you can be there, and do as well as you can do. Don't become fatalistic. Something of eternal value is being gained. Know that your life, my plan, are bound together by my love for you. Your life and my plan are bound together by my love. They can't be separated. Grow where you are because you have hope, a hope that is anchored in what will be. Know how my plan ends. Know my purpose, that it may be accomplished. Jeremiah 30:18-19. Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will restore the fortune of the tents of Jacob, and have compassion on his dwelling places, and the city will be rebuilt on its ruin, and the place will stand on its rightful place. And from them will proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who celebrate. And I will multiply them, and they will not diminish. I will also honor them, and they will not be insignificant. Is that not all of our fears, that my life will be insignificant, that I will be here for nothing? After exile, after the wilderness, God will restore. God will have compassion, and he will rebuild your life on its own ruins, the ruins that God himself brought about. The palace of the king will be in its rightful place in your heart, right where it was always meant to be. When God's plan is done, when his purpose is fulfilled, we will be thankful and we will celebrate what he's done in our lives. We will be more than we were before, and God himself will honor us as a dean honors a graduate with a diploma in front of everyone. And finally, our existence, our lives, is no longer insignificant. They will have the meaning and the importance of God's purpose for all of creation. In the end, we will know that we are what matters to God, and we always were, and we always will be, simply because God has chosen to love us. This alone makes our future hopeful. Grace is the foundation of our hope. Jeremiah 31, 16 through 17, thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord, and they will return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children will return to their own territory. Anytime you hear children, think of the future. Do not lament the difficulty in your life here, brothers and sisters. Know what it is producing. Understand what you get out of this. Everything you labor through will have its reward, and when you see it, you will agree wholeheartedly with Paul, who wrote to the church at Rome, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. You will be rewarded, and the payoff is far greater than anything it cost you. God's plan works all things together for your good. Knowing this matters greatly. When you return home, you will have more than you left with. This place will be of great profit for you. Just as captivity in Egypt was for Israel, as difficult as it was when they left with the wealth of Egypt with them. Hebrews 6, 9 through 11. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and the things that accompany salvation. The things that accompany salvation. I don't have enough weeks to preach that. Though we are speaking in this way, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name. In having ministered and still ministering to the saints, and we desire each one of you to show the same diligence, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Full assurance in God's purpose and plan for you, for your life, gives you hope in any situation, throughout your life, until your journey ends, and until you return home to the welcome of the prodigal son. Because, brothers and sisters, in that account, we are the prodigal son. We are not the good son. We are the prodigal son. No matter what your failures, I am absolutely convinced that wonderful things are waiting for you, the things that accompany salvation, total sanctification, and complete glorification. You were saved to have those things occur. God will not forget what you've gone through to get here and what you've done for the kingdom of love along the way. He will surely make your journey away from him and back worth your cost. It says that God put a robe upon his back, a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let us feast and celebrate. That's what God said about the prodigal son. My son was lost, now he is found. And it was the journey away from the father that brought him back for good. That's why he came back, because he went away. Life is a test that God gives, and then he leaves you to grade. You can lie to yourself about your failings for only so long. You can give yourself an A only so many times before you realize it's a mistake. It is when you admit that you have failed, that you cannot do what must be done, that you avail yourself to the passing grade of God's grace. This doesn't happen by chance or occur while more important things are transpiring in your life, because there is nothing more important. This is the lesson plan of a loving teacher for all mankind. And nothing that transpires in life is outside of that plan. The only way you can fail is to claim you passed and have no need of his grace. The greatest thing we can accomplish in this life is to love God with all of our hearts and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. God has done his part to see to it that this goal can be achieved. If not here and now, then there and then. It is your destiny, because it is God's plan for you, and his plan never fails. Now in Acts 20, Paul, knowing that his end was coming, speaks to the elders of Ephesus, who came to him at his request. He's telling them goodbye. And he looks back on his ministry to them, and he makes a claim. From Acts 20, 27. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. I told you what you needed to know. This is my prayer, that I can one day claim what Paul claimed here, that I declared the whole purpose of God, because knowing his purpose is knowing his love. I know that if I have done this, I have helped your life to be a bright light set high on a hill in a dark and sad world, and you too will proclaim the whole purpose of God. I leave you with the words of Frederick Robertson. The truest view of life has always seemed to me to be that which shows that we are not here to enjoy, but to learn. The deep undertone of the world is sadness, a solemn bass, occurring at measured intervals and heard through all other tones. Ultimately, all the strains of this world's music resolve themselves into that tone. And I believe that, rightly felt, the cross, and the cross alone, interprets the mournful mystery of life, the sorrow of the highest, the Lord of life, the result of error and sin, but ultimately remedial, purifying, and exalting. Life is hard, but it's worth it. Such is the unfailing love of God, his unfailing purpose, and his unfailing plan to achieve that purpose. Amen.